Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Thank you all so much for being here today. I am here with a guest, Denise Head, and I am really, really looking forward to a very, very I don't know. Hello, Denise, are you here? I cannot hear you.
Hello.
Hello, Denise, are you here? Yes, hi, how yes. are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much
I'm
for
doing
being
very
on the
well.
Show today.
How about you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. This is The Ring with Omenisa. And today we are going to be talking about tips on love, and we are here today with none other than Denise Head, and she is a love ambassador, and I happen to know a lot of her story, but I'll let her talk. However, she did wait, so she didn't get married in the conventional way, and that was on purpose. She waited. And so, Denise, I would really love for you to share with us how you waited, why you waited, and the tips on how to sustain love. You have the floor.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm totally honored. Again, my name is Denise Head, and, you know, I've always been a hopeless romantic. Ever since I was 10 years old, I had such a pressing desire to be married one day, and not just be married, but I really was conscious of wanting a happy, healthy marriage. Unfortunately, as many of us are, I was raised in quite a dysfunctional home. And so, you know, that kind of put that desire in me to, you know, understand what is needed to have a healthy, happy relationship to avoid all the drama. So that's my beginning. And when I was around 23, I ended up getting engaged. And I was praying and praying and praying because, again, you know, as that 10-year-old little girl was still there saying, you know, there's so many people who are in relationships, but they're just not happy. I saw it in my friends, you know, between their parents, you know, and then as I got older, you know, friends who had actually gotten married and divorced twice, three times over. And so, unfortunately, I wish I would have known this before I said yes to the engagement. But I began to realize, in fact, that I was not ready. And what was resonating in me was the fact that I was filtering my decisions and my choices through everyone else's opinion. You know, I was too concerned about what everybody else would think. And then I recognized that, you know, I had lived with my parents most of my life and, you know, was quite privileged. You know, I never had to pay bills, never had to pay rent, didn't have to pay a car note or anything. And my fiance, he's 9 years older than me, and he had had all those experiences on top of being married and divorced and having children. And so I began to think, you know what, and I know it was the Holy Spirit just answering my prayer because I had earnestly prayed, Lord, please don't let me make a mistake. So I had surrendered my whole heart over to him, trusting that he would not allow me to make a mistake. And so as a result, I felt so heavy on my heart that I needed to break off the engagement, unfortunately. And I did. And so I ended up moving out of state and setting up shop, going to college. That was something I knew I wanted to do. I didn't want to just get married, never have been anywhere, had any experiences of my own. And so I moved and that, you know, began to do a lot of soul searching and began to understand a whole lot about love. And so when we talk about love tips, One of the major things that is most important, especially if you're looking to be in a committed marriage relationship that is full of love and vibrancy, you know, where there's wild passion and everything that you desire, everything that we see on TV, you know, the first tip that I would give is the importance of self-love. You know, having self-love, and when we say self-love, I've had quite a few clients say, well, I love myself, you know, and in reality, sometimes we really don't even understand the areas where we do not love ourselves, you know, and it makes me think about some of the relationships that we end up, and for me, you know, that was me. That was a part of my journey. I was dating people who didn't value me, who didn't respect me. And so that's a sign of where I was in my self-love journey. If you love yourself, you're not going to submit yourself to abuse. You're not going to submit because you value your own self. You understand your value. You're not going to take out my husband on our 10-year anniversary this past year, bought me a beautiful, beautiful diamond ring. I value that. So I take it off, I put it in a box. I'm not just going to throw it in the dirt. I'm just not going to leave it anywhere, you know, and trust it to just anyone because I highly value, you know, that ring. I highly value the intention that my husband had in giving me the ring. And so, you know, that is one of the major tips is to, you know, really understand your value, you know. And then another tip is to understand, you know, as you're understanding your value, that should take you on a journey to understanding your own personal story, understanding your influences. You know, I understood that in my family, you know, we had a lot of dysfunction going on as it relates to the family unit, communication, and all of those things. So I absorbed that and was taking that into my relationships. You know, so we have to analyze and we have to take a step back and not be so into romanticism and, you know, wanting a mate and wanting to, you know, someone to share your life with, because a lot of times what we'll end up doing is destroying that relationship because we didn't take the time to understand ourselves, understand our family history, understand our influences, understand the areas within ourselves that need work, you know. And so then that takes me to another tip is just, you know, working on yourself. You know, and that's what that time did when I broke off that engagement with my fiance. I took that time, I changed my perspective, and I began to work on me, my emotions. You know, where was I emotionally? You know, I had a temper issue. You ticked me off, and I was going there. And that would not be conducive for a happy, healthy marriage. So the Lord was able to illuminate me and help me to see if you got married, you would destroy it because you have not gotten a hold of your anger issues. You didn't take the time to understand your triggers, you know, the reason you even explode when you're angry. And so that was a very strategic move, you know, for me to spend that time alone, to break off that engagement, to move. So that's the thing that helped me, breaking it off and then going on my own and truly walking with the Lord and allowing him to show me myself. A lot of times we're hooking up with people and we really don't even understand ourselves. We don't understand what we're functioning out of. You know, if someone says something to us, we have faulty filters. You know, we think that our perspective validates the truth, and it doesn't. A person can say something to you, and you filter it through your faulty filters and through your perspective, and that might not even be the intention of what that, you know, of what that person was trying to communicate. You missed the whole thing. So those are some of the things that really and truly helped me to wait. I mean, I had a 40, 45, almost 46, as my birthday was a week after our wedding, I had a 46-year period to spend working on myself, understanding my triggers, you know, improving those areas, you know, that were not strong, improving, you know, communication, understanding how to communicate. And then, you know, when you are whole in that way, when you, you know, value yourself, when you exercise self-love, that cuts out a lot of drama. Because then when men or women approach you and you are trying to make a decision of whether or not to enter into a relationship, it'll be obvious, you know, because you're in tune with yourself and the things that you need in order to have a sustainable relationship. So, any questions, Melissa?
Well, it's just beautiful hearing you, because I have dealt with the consequences of not taking the time to do the work. And when I say, like, to do the work is knowing that I feel undervalued, knowing that I'm not practicing self-care, knowing that I'm not analyzing myself enough, knowing that my perspective is skewed, knowing that there is a bad temper, knowing that that I know my triggers, but I don't understand my triggers. And that's So I am in a better place now, where it's not just knowing the triggers, but actually knowing the timing, knowing the smells, knowing why, knowing how, and knowing the end result. What's going to happen if you don't address trigger and all of that? Because it does show up in the marriage. And then it makes love very, very complicated. And love is not complicated. That's one thing that love is not. And but like some people like would hear this and be like, oh, okay, well, so does that mean that I don't love my spouse, or does that mean that I don't love my boyfriend or my girlfriend? No, like that's not what it means, but it just means that your ability to enjoy the love, like it's just gonna be harder. Because love is an action word, so it's more than just love, but you have to be able to enjoy the love. And I think that a lot of people are not even enjoying the called love that they have for themselves. Like, they're not even enjoying, like, their family love. Like, so, like, how on earth are they going to love or enjoy the love that requires extra work? Marriage requires extra love.
It really does.
And, so, like, that was very, very illuminating. You talking about filters and responding based on your filters. Can you expand more, because we have a few more minutes, but can you expand more on understanding your triggers and how that plays a role in love?
Yeah, because the main thing, what comes to my heart is, you know, we talk about, you know, the scriptures that say, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and if you don't love yourself, how can you love someone else? And so we have to look at the basis of what love really is. And, of course, you know, many of us are familiar with the Corinthians chapter 13 that really describes what true love is. You know, there is a, a false love out here. You know, what is love, first of all? You know, and so you can't even understand yourself until you first have a reference point. What is love actually? Love is patient. Love is kind. So if I'm not being patient, do I really love my mate? Or am I operating out of that false spirit, out of that false definition that the world talks about? And so that brings me to what is so passionate on my heart is just understanding kingdom principles. you know, we're here in the earth, but we're not of this earth. So we're not to take on the culture of this world. So the first things first, in order to understand your filters and understand what you're operating out of, we have to be totally submitted to the Spirit of the Lord and not be so engaged with what the world standards are. And we are that way in marriage. You know, we want the big fine wedding. You know, we get so excited about the wedding and having a mate. And we never took the time to surrender and say, listen, Lord, is this something I need to be doing? There's so many women who stand at the altar and they know there's no peace. There's something wrong. You know, and that, and my passion is that in order to understand your filters, you know, what are you, that meaning, what are you functioning out of? You know, when someone is talking to you and then you respond, are you responding out of past pain? You know, are you responding out of things that are down in your bowels and your subconscious that you're not aware of? And the only way that that will be revealed is if we have a full surrender to the Lord. And so in my example, a full surrender was to break off with the man that I truly desire to be with. You know, and that was difficult. A lot of women would not have done that, you know. They would have just said, well, I'm engaged. You know, we have been engaged for a while. We dated for 3 years, and then we were engaged for a little while. And so, you know, we had a tie to each other. But I knew in my heart that the Lord was saying, this is not the direction you need to take at this time. And so I had a full surrender and was able to go to my, thankfully, my husband. I'm married to him now, this man, this wonderful, beautiful man. And now he's able to enjoy me because I surrendered. I, you know, it was the faith in God that he had something for me and that I wasn't going to operate out of my own faulty filters because I wanted what I wanted.
Because you wanted what you wanted. So how do you get over the jitters of not having, like the jitters of having to leave what you're used to get to what you really want?
Once again, you know, that goes back to your relationship with the Lord and really trusting him. You know, and I want to bring up one of my, you know, I'm very passionate about understanding relationship with God versus religion, defiled religion. So when you have a relationship with God, meaning you have an understanding of who he is, you know, he holds this universe in his hand. And that was one of the things that kept me because I understood, God, I know you love me. I know that you have my best interest at hand, and I had to trust that, not trusting my own way, not trusting my own desires, but trusting that God, the creator of this universe, and I used to tell him all the time, Father, if this is not what you have for me, I ask that you take this desire from me. You know, same thing with Jesus. He went to the Lord and said, listen, Lord, you know what I mean? This cup can pass me, you know. But he had a trust. He was able to endure the cross because he trusted fully in his God. He knew his God. He knew his purpose. And those are the foundational principles that help you to not function in fear. Because as the Bible teaches us, you know, our greatest fear comes upon us. And again, we quote all these scriptures all the time, but are we functioning out of a head knowledge, out of a religious base? Are we functioning out of a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord, whom we love and whom we trust and whom we're totally surrendered to, just as Christ did when he had to endure the cross?
That is beautiful. That just had me. That just, yeah. Having a relationship with God, a lot of people struggle with having an intimate relationship with God. And it's so ironic that people who were raised in church are the ones who actually struggle with having a relationship with God, because it's just so defiled, as you said. You know, it's so funny. I was actually talking to somebody early on this morning, and I know that the person is on a 500-day fast, you know, like just
mm-hmm.
And you needed to have heard the words coming out of this person's mouth, because the person is fasting, and yet, like, the person was talking about divorce and talking about, was just so one-sided, was very, very offended about something, and it was just one-sided, and all I could see was egotism and emotionalism, which doesn't rhyme with spirituality. And at that moment, I was upset, like, for 1 minute, but then I realized that this is not the person's fault. This is what our world has become. You know, it's defiled, defiled religion. We are using God's name to do our bidding. You know,
right.
We just use God, we just use, like, Christianity or religion just a little bit, you know, to where we feel safe and we feel like we have a roof and we feel like we have, like, some kind of spirituality, but we're still doing whatever we want to do anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have some good news because, you know, I am so convinced that in this dispensation of time that the Lord is coming for his remnant. He's raising up a remnant, a people who are going to trust him, a people who are going to turn away, repent. You know, we talk about that word a lot, a people who are going to, and basically that word just means to change your mind, you know, your perspective, the way you think about things. God is raising up a people, and I can hear him. I can hear the call. It's the season where he's raising up his children, those who are, again, going to go back and begin to function in a way that is conducive for the kingdom culture, you know, who is not going to submit to that defiled religion that is being perpetuated across the globe. So I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in his people. And another key is, you know, the Lord teaches us you'll know one another by their fruit. Just because people, you know, and this is connected with love, you know, we have to know the difference, because if we don't understand those who are truly a part of the kingdom, if we don't know the difference, that's going to cause a lot of major problems, because we're going to begin to marry people who are not in the culture, you know, and that is a straight up indication of traumatic events that are going to happen in your relationship. But I'm excited about God, because he's raising up a remnant. He's raising up a people who are turning away from religion, defile religion, and they're pulling close to him because he wants to show himself strong in us. He wants to bring people their husbands and their wives. He wants to restore relationships with parents and with siblings. He's ready to do that. So we have to position ourselves. And positioning ourselves means, again, repenting, turning away. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, he reveals to us, but because we're not listening, because we're so indoctrinated with this culture, it's skewed. So I just encourage anybody who's listening to turn away from religion and sit aside some time to cultivate your relationship with the Lord so that you're sure to hear him when he speaks. The Lord says that wisdom cries aloud. There's a lot of things that we don't even have to go through, that we put our own selves through because we're not listening. He's ever speaking. So I just encourage you to hold on to God, to cling to him, to chase after him. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. He's ready to answer our prayers, and that's exciting.
He's ready to answer our prayers. That's it. He is ready to answer our prayers. Is there something that we need to do to get our prayers answered, or he just answers them?
No. Well, the only thing that I would say is that our prayers have to be washed out of a pureness, you know. In other words, don't go to him out of fear. You know, because he doesn't respond to fear. God responds to faith. You know, I think about that when I was praying. You know, come on now, 40, I'm 40 now. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not married yet. But I was going to him in faith. I said, Lord, I know you haven't forgotten about him. I didn't go to him with a pity party. Oh, Lord. Oh. No, God, I know you love me. So that's what I would encourage you to do is when you pray and talk to him, what we need to do is to go to him in faith, acknowledging that he is who he says he is.
Acknowledging that he is who he says that he is.
Yes.
It's who he says that he is. And who is he?
He is the God and creator of this universe. He is peace. He is love. He is joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. He is everything that we need, everything to fulfill every desire, every hurt, every pain. He's everything. As he said, I am that I am.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. So when it's not, when it's not joyful, King God. Now what happens to people who are already married, who are already there, righteousness, there is no peace, there is no joy, that the person is unequally yoked, or how do they get all of that criteria when they've already jumped the broom?
Well, you know, it's so amazing because it reminds me of a major transition in my life. The Lord had, I have worked in our family business for years, and it was very difficult because, of course, we had a dysfunctional backdrop. And I remember one day the Lord spoke to me and told me, this is preparing you for marriage. I had no idea how, but the bottom line was is I was so devoid of joy, you know, and I was connected with this business, with my family. I love them, you know. And so paralleling this with, you know, the marriage relationship or a committed relationship, something that you're in, you know, and I remember having to go to the Lord and I had to be honest. I had to not pretend. And that's what I told him, Lord, I can't pretend. And you promised me joy. You promised me peace. You know, again, going to him in faith, trusting that he has what it is you need, and then trusting him and following him and not leaning to your own understanding. That's the main thing. You know, just walking hand in hand with him through the journey, admitting, Lord, I made a mistake. I feel in my heart I made a mistake, but I trust you because you said you'd never leave me and you'd never forsake me. So I'm asking you to lead me. I'm asking you to guide me and show me how to navigate through this situation because I don't know. Lord, I want to leave, but I'm surrendered to what you want from me. And then trust him to lead. And once again, it goes back to the foundational principles of being sure that you're in a place where you're listening, where you can hear him. Yes.
Okay. Where we're listening and where we can hear him. Going to a place of where we are listening and where we can hear him. Having a relationship with God. It isn't going to. Denise, we have about 29 seconds left. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. We have a lot of people that have been trying to call in, but we will have to continue on another day. But guys, like, just take these nuggets. Have a relationship with God. Understand your triggers. If you have made a mistake, just talk to God about it, and he'll work it out. Thank you all so much for listening. God bless you. Thank you, Denise. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.